season for these kids from the East Bank Little League.
The magic and drama of the Little League World Series is back. Teams return to Williamsport, Pennsylvania today for the championship tournament after skipping last year due to COVID. While it won't be the truly global event it usually is, kids will still be playing their hearts out. ESPN baseball analyst Tim Kirkjian will be there. Today, he tells us what makes this event so magical and what to watch for as the games begin. I'm Emily Kaplan, in for Pablo Torre. It's Thursday, August 19th. This is ESPN Daily. Tim Kirkjian, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Emily. Nice to be here.
We are here today to talk about the Little League World Series that returns this week on ESPN. It's back after last year's was canceled due to the pandemic. And Tim, what do you like most about this event?
Well, it's the kids, and it's all about baseball and the kids. I don't want to be corny about this, but it's the most wholesome, pure baseball experience that I've ever had. Carl Ravitch, our dear friend, told me, I'd never been there till 2015. He said, this will be the greatest thing you've ever covered. But again, it's all about the kids, the stories that they tell, and how well they play baseball. I've said it a million times. It's the hardest game in the world to play. And for these kids to play it this well at age 12 is just breathtaking.
Yeah, and we're back, which is exciting. However, things have not completely returned to normal. What can you tell us about some of the changes we're going to see in this year's tournament? Like, first off, it's all U.S. teams, right?
And that's the biggest change. So we have no international teams, which is really a shame because among the many highlights of Williamsport is watching the Japanese team take infield, which is just the most precise thing you'll ever see 12-year-olds do. Of course, the second change, and maybe the biggest, is we're just not going to have a packed house like we used to. They had to cut down because of COVID. How many people are allowed in Lomity Stadium? You can get 40,000 people into that little ballpark, sitting on the hill, everything else. But this year, I think the maximum is going to be about 1,000 people. And that's really going to hurt the ambiance. However, the kids will carry it. It doesn't matter if there are no people in the stands. To watch the kids play baseball at this age is just the best part about Williamsport.
We're going to have two brackets, the Hank Aaron bracket and the Tom Seaver bracket. How's that going to work?
Well, they're going to be a little bit different, too. We're going to have 16 teams, but, you know, and it's a double elimination tournament, which makes it so, so good that some teams lose the first game and then can't lose another one the rest of the way. But it's a wonderful setup. And even though we'll just have the American teams there, the camaraderie will still be the same. The entire little town, this ludicrously charming little town, takes over and makes sure everything goes perfectly. That's what I was struck by soon after I got here. How many people who live in Williamsport take part in the Little League World Series, and they're all volunteers. No one's getting paid anything to do this. It's free admission to get in. The food is great. Everything is inexpensive, and it's just a great family atmosphere.
So much of the fabric of Williamsport and the fan experience. But as you write in your piece, going to Williamsport is something everyone needs to check off their list. What is the plan for fans in 2021?
Well, they're going to give out 250 tickets per team for friends and family, and those 250 will sit in the stands to watch the game. And then when the game is over, instead of sticking around and being able to watch, you know, four more games that day, which I always thought was the coolest part, you get to watch two teams you've never seen before, you have to leave the stadium and let the next 250 people per team enter. So sadly, we're just not going to have the same fan experience that we've had in the past, but it's still going to be great.
And let's remember, Tim, that these players are young. Some of them are not even 12 years old, which means they can't get vaccinated against the coronavirus. How is that coming up in the tournament's plans?
Well, everyone's going to be extra careful, as we should be with the kids. Now, not only to go cover it, do you have to be vaccinated, wearing masks, everything else. There's just not going to be the same interaction with the kids that we're used to having. I mean, I used to love to go stand right among the players and, you know, watch them take infield and go in the dugout and talk to them. Well, that's not going to happen this year. We're all going to keep our distance, as we should, because with the kids not being vaccinated, we can't take any chances here. So I think that is the way to go. It's going to be safety first, as it should be, which is why there are going to be so few people at the game this year, because, again, protecting the kids is all that matters.
Tim, you mentioned the Hill, and there is a glorious tradition involving the Hill. Can you please just tell us about your maiden voyage down it?
Well, got to remember, Emily, my maiden voyage I took at age 58. So I was kind of old, and I'm really kind of small, and I am really afraid of heights. I'm not even comfortable being this tall, believe me. So I looked down the hill, and it was a bit daunting for a tired little old man like myself. But I was told you have to do this.
In a world where kids have every single form of electronic entertainment you can ask for, at the Little League World Series, all you need is a grassy hill and some cardboard.
It's really fun to go on the cardboard. You can go really different ways, like on your butt, yeah! Or your stomach, or standing up.
If you're going to cover the Little League World Series, you have to go down the hill on a piece of cardboard. So I found a piece of cardboard roughly the size of a king-size bed, because I needed all the help I could get. And I was still hesitant to go down. And this little kid looks at me, standing right next to me. He's ready to go down the hill face first. And he says, I'll show you how to do this. So I say to the kid, how old are you? He says, I'm 4. And then he went down the hill head first. So I figured, well, if a 4-year-old can go down the hill, a 58-year-old man can go down the hill. So not head first, but on my butt, I went down the hill. When I got to the bottom, safe and sound, without breaking an ankle or knocking out a tooth, and it's very safe. It's just me being afraid of everything. I got there and I threw my hands up in the air, because I had succeeded in making it down the hill and completing one of the great traditions at the Little League World Series, and that's sliding down the hill on a piece of cardboard.
Can you walk us through what someone would see when they travel there?
Well, again, the ballpark is just fabulous, Lamadie Stadium. So you walk into the ballpark and it's down in this little valley. It's built on the bottom of a mountain. It's just beautiful. The playing surface on the field is immaculate. And again, all done by volunteers. These kids at age 12, I promise you, have never played on a field this good. But it's so much more than that. The kids make all the magic in the way that they move around and interact. And, you know, these kids speaking to kids who don't even speak English, but they speak baseball language, and it's just great. And ultimately, Emily, let's be honest, this is why they send me. I am there for scale and context only, because I'm 5'4" and a half and 140 pounds. So when I interview a kid and he's way smaller than me, that just shows you how little some of these kids are, and yet they can really play. And some of the kids are really big. They're way bigger than I am. In fact, we had a kid named Terrence Gist. He had a home run. He's from South Carolina. He had a home run several years ago that went 370 feet. So I interviewed him afterwards, and he's like 5'10", 185 pounds or so, and a big, strong kid. So I asked him, I said, Terrence, when was the last time you were my size, meaning 5'4" and a half, 140? And he thought for a second, and he said, in the second grade. So that's the way it works. I did the kids broadcast 2 years ago, the first time they ever brought in, you know, budding young communication, high school, you know, teenagers to do the games. And so I I went in and did a half an inning as a guest analyst. And the play-by-play kid, who's like 14 years old, the first question he asked me was, how many kids here are taller than you? That was the first question he asked me. So actually, one of the researchers thought they'd have a little fun at my expense and looked up every kid playing in the Little League World Series that year. And he determined that 52% of the kids were taller than me, which I thought was unnecessary, but it was pretty funny in the end.
All right, well, let's scale back up to Major League, because MLB's Little League Classic game, which this year will feature Cleveland and the Angels facing off this Sunday. What does that game mean, not to the Little Leaguers, but more importantly, to the MLB players?
Well, it's enormously important to them, and I've been there for every Little League Classic game now. And that first year when the Cardinals and the Pirates showed up, they had no idea what they were in for, and neither did anybody else. But I watched them while I was broadcasting a game. I watched them get off the team bus and walk into the stadium, and within seconds, they were just engulfed, every player, by hundreds of these kids. And they were really moved, the baseball players, by the experience. And you know, the more you think about it, it makes sense. Every one of these guys was a 12-year-old playing baseball at some point, but very, very few of them ever got a chance to play at a venue like Williamsport, play on television at age 12. So all these guys like thoroughly enjoyed the first year. It was so meaningful for the kids, but just as much so for the big leaguers. Then the second year, they decided, let's send the kids out to the airport and let them ride in on the team bus. That was a brilliant idea. So I was on one of those buses when Rhys Hoskins of the Phillies was on the bus, and he just arranged a little dance contest on the bus that was just hilarious beyond words, because these kids have no fear whatsoever. And Anthony Rizzo, when he went with the Cubs years later, told me that on his bus ride in with the kids, he got them to sing their rendition of Center Field by John Fogerty, which was just the best. And Chris Archer, who's got a great sense of humor, Chris Archer was pitched for the Pirates in 2019. He had a really bad season, so he shows up in August in Williamsport, and he told me that one of the kids on the bus, you know, like kind of recognized who he was, and he said to him, the kid said, aren't you the guy who gives up all the home runs? And Chris Archer said, yeah, I'm the guy who gives up all the home runs. And that connection between the kids and the players is just something that you cannot duplicate. It's such a great venue.
Okay, coming up, we look at the legacy of the Little League World Series and when a girl from Philly stole the show.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? Each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Tim, my day job is covering the NHL, and New York Rangers general manager Chris Drury won the Little League World Series with his Trumbull, Connecticut team in 1998. But I've heard him say he wouldn't trade that experience for winning a national championship in college or a Stanley Cup in the NHL. Why do you think the Little League World Series means so much to so many?
Well, it's because you do it as a kid. You're on TV for the first time. Everyone's watching you play. Your family's with you. And more important, Emily, This is kind of sad, but Tim Corbin, the baseball coach at Vanderbilt, told us a few years ago, he said, this is really, the Little League, the last time that you will play baseball for the lettering on the front of your jersey, not the back of your jersey. Because after Little League, he said, a bunch of our kids start to go, you know, to camps and to showcase games where it's all about their independent skills, not helping their team win. And it's not the kids' fault. This is just how the industry works. And again, Todd Frazier won the Little League World Series, and he puts that right there with any experience he's ever had.
Todd Frazier, what an amazing player. On Tuesday, a two-run homer to put his club ahead for good against this group.
They got to go all over New York. He said, I got hundreds of autographs of Hall of Famers and baseball players. And most important, the Toms River team got to go on the field at Yankee Stadium right before a major league game started. And each kid from the Toms River team got to stand next to a New York Yankee. And Todd Frazier got to stand next to Derek Jeter on the field. And he said it was the coolest thing he's ever experienced in his athletic career. And he said, and Todd told me, he said, and my first All-Star appearance was Derek Jeter's last All-Star experience.
All right, Tim. Well, I have my own Little League World Series moment. It was 2014. I was a young Cub reporter at Sports Illustrated, and I got a call from my editor to drive to Williamsport because there was a young girl pitching for the Mid-Atlantic team, and her dominance is all anyone wanted to talk about in sports. And I knew it was a big deal at a time when I interviewed Monet Davis. I just didn't realize how big, and we put her on the cover of SI that week.
Youngster is striking everybody out. She's a girl. I love it. It's a new day. Davis strikes out Blake Money. He's got a brother named Cash Money. Lil Wayne tweeted, goosebumps, you're awesome, unbelievable. Then she gets Tyler Finley. Mike Trout tweeted, Monet Davis is straight dominating.
7 years later, I want to ask you about Monet Davis. What does she represent to this grand tradition?
Well, I think she's the biggest, most important story in the history of the Little League World Series, because she's the first female ever to throw a shutout at the Little League World Series. She did things that no female has ever done at the Little League World Series. And for about 10 days that year, 2014, she was probably the most recognizable and famous baseball player in the world.
I don't really like all the attention, because it just feels like everything's about me and they don't see the whole picture of my teammates. And without my teammates, I don't think we would be here right now.
So she changed everything at the Little League World Series, even though girls preceded her and followed her. And I've met her a couple times now, and she's an adorable girl. She's a college softball player now. And she did the broadcast 2 years ago that I told you about, where the kids did the broadcast. And she's going to be back on that broadcast team this year. They're going to do two games. They're going to do a Little League game, and they're also going to do the Major League Little League Classic on ESPN2. So she loved her experience in 2014, she told me, and she still loves everything about Williamsport.
And Tim, there's another young girl this year who's turning heads, Ella Bruning, and she's a star catcher from Wiley, Texas. What makes Ella special?
Well, she can pitch and she can catch. And I've seen her throw, and it's really impressive what she can do. We had her, a little clip of her on Baseball Tonight last night. And look, catching is not an easy job for anyone, including big leaguers. And to see a 12-year-old girl who catches and pitches is something you can't take your eyes off of. And I remember 2 years ago when Maddie Frecking was there. She was a really good player. She pitched. She did a bunch of other things. And I was also really touched by the fact that in the little bios, Maddie Frecking listed her favorite baseball player as Jackie Robinson, which I thought was amazing. You know, everyone else picked Mike Trout or, you know, Javi Baez or somebody like that. She picked Jackie Robinson because at age 12, she understood the importance of what Jackie Robinson did for baseball and for this country.
Tim, there's so many numbers out there that show participation in Little League, not necessarily youth baseball, but Little League, are dropping. Do you feel like this tournament will ever be at risk?
No, this tournament will never be at risk because of the way it's run and the importance that it has. Now, we need to get more kids playing baseball. And honestly, it's such a difficult game to play. And I will unfortunately argue this with anyone that we run kids out of the game so early because it's so difficult to play. When the ball hits you, it really hurts. The game is really boring for a lot of kids who are used to more action. But if we can keep these kids through age 12, when they start to really have an understanding of what the game's about and how to play it, I think we will always be able to keep enough kids around. There's no doubt this, you know, we're not playing enough baseball with our kids these days, and that probably goes for all sports. But baseball will never, never leave Williamsport because it's way too important, not just for the city and for the game, but for the country.
What about travel baseball? I mean, we hear of families spending thousands of dollars a year to send their kids all over the country. What is that doing to Little League?
Well, travel baseball is really good in a way because it allows you to play a lot of games and you get better when you play more games. But I'm a little biased about this. I'm not a big travel baseball guy. I think kids at age 12 should be playing year-round sports. They should play baseball, basketball, soccer, whatever it is, as opposed to playing baseball 12 months a year. I always thought the goal was to get to high school, make your high school team, and then try to win a state championship. But it doesn't work that way anymore. The travel teams have kind of taken over, and that worries me a little bit. And you're right, Emily. Some kids cost $10,000, $15,000 a year to play travel baseball.
What can all of us learn by watching the Little League World Series? Or more importantly, what do you want people to see when they're watching these games?
Well, I want them to see the camaraderie of the kids. I want them to see how controlled the coaches are and the kids are, and how, as corny as it sounds, it's all about sportsmanship, playing the game the right way. You will never see a coach yell at a player. You will never see a coach yell at an umpire, because that is just not necessary at the Little League World Series. I just want everyone to realize that every one of these kids has such a great story to tell about themselves. That's what people need to know. And some of them are hilarious, some of them are fascinating, and some of them are just make your heart melt.
Tim Kirkjian, I hope that you get a piece of cardboard and slide down the hill. I hope they let you back in the kettle corn kettle. And thank you for your time. Enjoy the World Series.
Thank you, Emily.
Coming up, what the chaos in Afghanistan means for athletes.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Here's another story I'd like you to know. As Taliban fighters forcibly retake control of Afghanistan, women there face drastic repercussions. The Taliban actively suppress education and basic rights for women. That includes banning women from sports. Female athletes made strides in a more open Afghanistan, but those gains are rapidly slipping away. A founder of Afghanistan's national women's soccer team, Halida Papal, reports desperate texts and calls from players. She tells the Associated Press that her advice to them is to escape, to hide, to erase any trace of their participation in the team, close their social media accounts, and take down any online photos. She says, quote, "All these years we have worked to raise visibility of women, and now I'm telling my women in Afghanistan to shut up and disappear. Their lives are in danger." Afghan women who participate in any type of public competition are in danger. Members of the all-girls robotic team, an international success, are seeking to leave the country as refugees. What will happen to the women who played in an all-female chess tournament in Kabul to mark International Women's Day this spring? Or the girls who ride the ramps at Skatistan, the skateboarding NGO featured in last year's Oscar-winning documentary? There's also the first-ever female Paralympian from Afghanistan. She was set to fly out from Kabul to Tokyo this week. The Paralympic Games start on August 24th. Zakiya Houdadi is a 23-year-old woman and Taekwondo athlete. She's reported to be trapped in Kabul. She's traveled there to continue on to Tokyo along with fellow male Paralympian Hossein Rasouli in track and field. But their flights were canceled and their fate is now unclear. In a video statement delivered to and translated by the head of Afghanistan's Paralympic Committee and reviewed by the Wall Street Journal, she says she's staying with extended family in Kabul, but is too frightened to leave the house. Quote, "I request from you all, on behalf of all Afghan women, to help me," she said. "My intention is to participate in the Tokyo 2020 Paralympic Games. Please hold my hand and help me." She continued, "Please, I request you all, especially all the women from around the globe and the female institutions and the United Nations, to not let the rights of a female citizen of Afghanistan in the Paralympic movement to be taken away so easily." Zakiya's sport, Taekwondo, is the only event that's brought Olympic medals to Afghanistan in the 2008 and 2012 games, with bronze wins for Rahula Nikpai. He was her inspiration. Under previous Taliban rule, Afghanistan was banned from the 2000 Olympics altogether for their treatment of women. Now, in 2021, Afghan athletes are being forced to abandon 20 years of progress. I'm Emily Kaplan, and this has been ESPN Daily. Pablo will return tomorrow.